Chizkuni Parshas Vayigash. So the Parsha begins with Yehuda addressing Yosef. And he said, and so why Yehuda? The Chizkuni says right away, because Yehuda is the one who guaranteed that Binyamin would be returned safely, and now, and Binyamin is being taught, you know, Yosef says that he's going to hold Binyamin as a slave. So Yehuda comes forth, and he says, I want to speak Ba'aznei Adoni. What does it mean? He wants to speak into his ear. So the Chizkuni says, I'm going to say this, I'd like to say this quietly. And don't get mad. So what does that mean? So he says, I don't want you to get mad because, you know, if the CEO gets mad at you, who are you going to complain to? You know what I mean? Once you go to the boss, so if the boss gets, you know, if you don't like your manager yells at you. So you could take it up the level, you know, if you get in a fight with your manager. If you need to, you can go to the guy above him until you get to the CEO. The CEO you get in a fight with, you're out of luck. So he's saying, you're like Pyro, basically, and if I get in a fight with you, I'm basically out of luck. So therefore, I don't want you to get angry at me. Okay, but the Kamocha Kaparo, he brings the Medrash. First of all, he brings Rashi. The Rashi says, just like Paro's Gozer and not Mekayim, so too you are. So he just brings the Medrash. It means that it's written in the rules of Mitzrayim that no slave can become king, and he can't wear the kingly clothes with the, which are these big deshesh. So, and you, Paro, when you became king, whenever they install the king, I guess at the coronation, whenever they install the king, they make the king swear that he's going to uphold the constitution, whatever, he'll uphold the rules of the country. So you swore, Paro, to uphold the rules of the country. Meanwhile, you made Yosef, you know, he made Yosef into a king, and he let him wear big deshesh. And so that's one thing. So Paro doesn't keep his words. And certainly he's not going to keep, you know, he swore falsely, so he's not going to keep his word. Doesn't keep his word. And he's not, therefore I can't trust him that he will keep his words. And also he said that whoever comes, there was this announcement, whoever comes to Mitzrayim to get food, nothing's going to happen to him. And that's also not true. So therefore Paro's doesn't tell the truth, and you're like him. How so? That goes on. Adonisha al Savadav Lemori. He tells him the whole story, how you told us bring him down and everything would be fine, and it wasn't fine. Now the Chizkuni just asks a very basic question. It's mamash in the second pasuk of the parsha. It says, Adonisha al Savadav Lemori Yesh Lachem Avoach. So you asked us if we had a father or a brother. Chizkuni just says a question. Where? There is no such pasuk. It's at least not in the pasukim. Yosef did not ask them if they had a father or a brother. So he just says what I think most of us would think is obvious. I guess he did. Cause it's not likely that he lied in front of Yosef's face. I mean, that he would call Yosef a liar. No, I'm sorry. That Yehuda would lie. Yehuda would not lie to Yosef's face. So it must be that he just asked as a kasha. We don't find a pasuk that he asked that, but it must be he did ask that. Okay. So again, so you told us to bring Binyamin down and nothing would happen to him. As, you know, granted, basically, he did something wrong. I mean, ostensibly, right, that he stole the cup, which he didn't. But, looks like he stole the cup. Still, you said he was going to come down, everything would be fine. And it's a gnai for you, Yosef, or whatever he thinks, Mr. Viceroy, to go back on your word. Okay, so then we know, Yosef tells everybody to get out and reveals himself as being Yosef. And then Rashi says this interesting thing, and this question has bothered me always. Rashi says that Yosef wanted to prove to him, to the brothers, that he was really Yosef and that he was Jewish. And Rashi's Hera says, Hera lehem shehu ma'al. He showed that he had a bris milah. Okay. So the question the Chizkuni asks, which always bothered me, is everyone in Mitzrayim had a bris milah. That was the whole deal. When if you wanted food in Mitzrayim, that's Rashi brings, that anybody who would come to get food, Yosef would say, you need to get a bris milah. And then Paro, and they would come and complain to Paro, and Paro said, well, how come you didn't save your own tfua? And, you know, and they said, oh, it all rotted, our tfua that we saved over the rich years. And Paro says, uh-oh, Yosef's stuff didn't rot, so it must be he has powers. You better listen to what Yosef says, or else who knows what will happen to us. So you see, everyone in Mitzrayim had a bris milah. So how in the world are you showing that you're really Jewish because you have a bris milah? The whole Egypt has a bris milah. It's a very strange thing, it would seem. Anyway, the Chizkuni says that it wasn't true. Not everyone in Mitzrayim had a bris milah. Only people who needed food had a bris milah. So if you had to come to Yosef, to get food, he would make you get a bris milah. Yosef didn't need to come to anybody for food. Maybe he never mauled himself. Anyway, it seems like that this should have been approved to them. They would have. I mean, if you would have asked me, I would have assumed if the viceroy says everyone has to get a bris milah, he must have one himself. Maybe not. Maybe the opposite. Maybe they assumed there was a way of knocking down people. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's what Chizkuni answers. It was he didn't have to get a bris milah himself because he didn't need the food, so it wouldn't be a raya. In fact, the rest of the mitzvahim had it. It wasn't even all the mitzvahim. It was just those who needed food, which I guess eventually became everybody, but maybe not at that point. Or he gives one other explanation, which is, you know, I guess very posh. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe the brothers didn't know. And I guess Yosef knew that they didn't know that the rest of Mitzrayim had a bris milah. Okay. And then Yosef tells them to go down and go back up and tell Yaakov that he's alive. And then come down to Mitzrayim, I'll support you. And your eyes see, and the eyes of your brother Binyamin, that my mouth speaking to you, as Rashi says, because he was speaking to them in Hebrew. Why does he spell out Eneache Binyamin? So the Chizkuni says, it's to say that in case you guys are afraid to tell Yaakov, your father, that I'm still alive because you made a shua. Remember the famous shua Rabbi Tosh talks about, that even Hashem was somehow nishtatev in some way, that to not tell Yaakov that Yosef was alive. So he said Binyamin can do it. He wasn't there at the Mechira. Binyamin can tell him. Okay, another fascinating thing here in Pasuk Tes. It says, Yosef tells them, Maharuva alu el avi, go back to my father and tell him I'm alive. Reda elai al tamod. That's the end of the Pasuk Tes. Reda elai al tamod. Come down to me, don't delay. Reda. Now, if you look back in Parshas Miketz, it said, Yaakov says, remember what Yaakov hears, that there's food in Mitzrayim, and he says, in Pasuk Beis, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Beis, says, "V'yomer hinei shamati ki yashaver b'mitraim." Here, there's food in Mitzrayim. Redu shama v'shiver lanu misham. So, go down. Why does he say redu? Rashi there says the reason he didn't say lachu and he said redu is because redu is the gematria of 210, because they would be in Mitzrayim 210 years. So the Chizkuni says here, Yosef is saying reda. Reish Dalet Hey, because 1 year already passed. So, I guess according to that, the 210 started then. So, at the time Yaakov would come down, it would be down to Redu, Reda, only 209 years. It just comes out that the year of the Shibud, the times that they would be in Mitzrayim, accounted from the times the brothers came down there, it would seem, according to that. Okay, then it says that Yosef gave them all clothing when they left. The kulam nasam ish chalikos malos, he gave them all clothing. Why? Chizkuni says because he caused them to rip their clothing. So to pay back for that, he's giving them clothing on their way back, right? He made it that when they found that Binyamin had the cup, they all tore clothing. He made them tore their clothing, so he was giving them new clothing. And it says, "L'binyamin nasan shalosh mios kesef v'chamesh chalifos l'mos." He gave them an extra 300 bucks. What's the 300 bucks? So the Chizkuni says, you know, an eved, if you kill an eved, so it's the shloshim shkalim, right? That's the value of an eved, 30 shkalim. So there's a halacha, the Chizkuni quotes. It's in Gittin Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, "Hamocher avdo lov dikachavim konsin aso ad asara bedamav." If you sell your Eved to a guy, so he gets a knas, he has to pay up to 10 times the value of the Eved. Okay, so they sold Yosef, and the Eved's worth 30 shkalim. So if they sold Yosef, so 10 times that is 300. So that's why he gave Binyamin 300, gave them nothing as a knas to them, but for that Indian, like the $300. You know, it's just, whatever, there's questions on this, like the Riva. asks that Reuven didn't sell him either, you know, so how come Reuven didn't get 300? Okay, whatever, anyway, but that's what the Chizkuni says. Okay, so they all get sent out, and remember, they come in Agalos, and that's when Yosef believes them. Yaakov believes them. It says in Pasuk Chavzayim, Medabri Lav is called Divrei Yosef. They went and they tell Yaakov all the stuff that Yosef's alive. And it says, Vayaras HaGolos, he saw the wagons that Yosef sent to send them. Vayitachirach Yaakov Avim. Then all of a sudden Yaakov believed them. Why is that? So, Rashi brings, because they were learning, the last thing they learned together was Egla Rufa, so he knew that as a private simon, that it was really Yosef. That's why Yaakov believed that Yosef was still alive. Okay. So, the Chizkuni, I guess it's B'Shem Yesh Mepharshim, is kind of asking a question. It says, Asher Shalach Al Pi Paro, right? Not in that pasuk. In Pasuk Kaf Aleph, it says that he sent the Agolos Al Pi Paro. So the Chizkuni asks, what do you need Paro's, like a viceroy of Egypt needs permission to be able to send Agolos? It's not a big deal. Why would a viceroy need permission to be able to send the second in command, to be able to send that galos to his father? Sounds like a bit much. That's one question. Another question is, what kind of simit is that? If agalos means wagons, is that really like, you know, he sent some wagons to pick you up? Oh, because we're learning Agla Rufa. Like, really? Maybe he just sent wagons because he sent wagons to get you. Like, it doesn't sound like it should be such a simon just because he sent wagons. Anyway, these Yesh Mepharshim say it was calves drawing the wagons, but calves. That's the agalos. And why did he need Paro's permission? Because you weren't allowed to send this chazal about sending these certain things there. They wouldn't leave Mitzrayim whole because they were afraid they would have kids and then somebody would breed these wonderful Egyptian breeds outside of Egypt. So if you were taking certain things out of Mitzrayim, they would make you cause them to not be able to have kids anymore. It says, "In par of a chazir, a cow and a chazir could not leave Mitzrayim unless you took out their womb." So anyway, these agalos were sent whole, and they were sent perfect. I guess you could tell that they were normal and whole, so needed special permission from Paro. So I guess that was the simon, that he would notice that this is unusual, that this left Egypt, it must be trying to send them a sign, and then it's more of a sign. Oh, because we were learning Parshas Egla Arufa, and there's a Mishnah there, Egla Moshechas Pekarom Psula Egla Arufa. It's a Lashon Nofel Al Nashon. Anyway, that was the more of the simon of it. Anyway, then Yaakov's getting ready to go down to Mitzrayim, and he's afraid. And Hashem says, "Don't be afraid. Anochi Ereni Mecha Mitzrayim, Anochi Alcha Gam Alo. Yosef Yeshus Yadavai Lanecha. Yosef will put his hands on your eyes." What exactly does that mean? So the Chizkuni says it's a minig that when someone dies, that the people who are alive, who are standing around, close the person's eyes right after they die. So he was trying to tell them that Yosef will be there when you die. That's Yosef Yashus Yadolinecha. Yosef will close your eyes, basically meaning when you'll die, Yosef will be there. And of course, therefore helping you get back to be buried in Eretz Yisrael and all that. Okay, and then we have the list, the people who went down to Mitzrayim. It says, Eilu Shmos B'nei Yisrael B'nei Mitzrayim. In Pasuk Yud Beis, you have something that seems a little strange. It says, the B'nei Yehuda are Erev Onan, whatever. And Erev Onan died before they got down to Egypt. So the question is, why mention them? I'm trying to list the 70. Eilish Mos B'nei Yisrael B'nei Mitzrayim. And then we mention in Pasuk Yud Beis, some people that didn't come down to Mitzrayim, Bnei Yehuda, were these people, Vayamas Erev Onan, Meretz Kanat. So then why mention them? So, the Chizkuni brings the Chazal. When I take it back, I'm not sure where, if it's the Chizkuni got this from, or maybe, you know, said this, or this is a Chazal, I'm not sure. But either way, the Chizkuni says that this was saying to Yehuda, that they really, everyone went down to Mitzrayim, it's really all Yehuda's fault, because that had he been Mochan, the brothers never would have sold Yosef. So therefore, in a sense, it's his fault. And, Hashem is saying, Atalo chasta b'tzar avicha, you didn't care about the tzar of your father. Chayecha b'sha sh'avicha b'simcha mises b'necha tien is keres k'deil tzarecha. So when your father's happy, the death of your children will be mentioned to cause you tzar. I mean, the Mosad Rav Kook version, which I have here, it doesn't know where that chazal is. I don't know. Anyway, that's what he brings. Now, there's a very interesting thing. When they get to Paro, Yosef tells them to say you guys are shepherds. Why? Isn't this Chaskuni? The Chaskuni says, because Yosef was afraid if they get down, these strong guys come down to Paro, who are like Yosef in that sense, and if Paro would actually make them officers in the palace, he was afraid that they'd get Yosef thrown out, because they were jealous of him because of Ksonas Pasim. Here he's going to be their the second in command. They're just going to be the lower than that. He didn't want them there to be there, and therefore he said, just say you're Anshei Mikneh. You don't want to work, so they shouldn't end up working as officers to Paro. Okay, anyway, so they say that, and Paro's response is, okay, so you guys go live in Goshen, and Vim Yadate, V'yishba Man Shechayel, V'samtem Sari Mikneh L'Sherli. If you have some Man Shechayel, they should be, you know, the people in charge of my cattle. What does Anshechayel mean? So Rashi says there that it means that they are Bikin Boom Nason. They're good, they're professionals. They're good, you know, this is what they do for a living. They're experts. So that's what's Anshei Chayel. So that's just the Chizkuni just adds on. An example of that is Eishes Chayel. Kolomar Chachma. So when you say Eishes Chayel, you know, it's from Mishlei. When we say Eishes Chayel Miyimta, it means, not powerful or whatever. It means wise or good at what she does. That's Eishes Chayel. Anshei Chayel means professionals. So an Eishes Chayel is someone who's professional at doing what she needs to do. Obviously, Eishes Chayel does not mean a soldierette, whatever, like a soldier lady. It does not mean that. It means Eishes Chayel. It means, like he says, Klomer Chachama. So it means someone, a professional, good at what they are, you know, a professional at what they do. Just one last thing. It says that Yosef supported his father and brothers. In Pasuk Yerbeis, he was Mechalkel Yosef Sevavis Achiv is called Beis Ovid Lechem Lefi Ataf. He gave bread per child, and the Chizkuni just says it doesn't say Lefi Hayoker. It wasn't that way. He gave everyone per child, meaning he gave them a lot of money. He gave them plenty. It wasn't like he gave a certain amount and that was it. It was per person. They got the amount that was good for them. It didn't matter if it was expensive. The price went up, price went down. It was everyone, you know, he was mechalkalim, buying off it. Okay, that's it.